It's Weekends and All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz.
A story of greed, playing the system for a quick buck. A group of corporate raiders led by Mitt Romney. More ruthless than Wall Street.
That's part of an anti-Mitt Romney ad now running in South Carolina. The video is being distributed by a pro-Newt Gingrich super PAC, and its message may be a sign of a growing philosophical split among the GOP candidates. James Fallows of The Atlantic is with me now to talk more about that divide. And Jim, this ad and others like it, are they perhaps an unanticipated consequence of the 2010 Supreme Court decision Citizens United, which, of course, opened the floodgates for unlimited corporate money in elections?
I think they are. And I think we're living through witnessing a potentially very important change in the way that political campaigns are run. When the Citizens United ruling came down, most of the discussion involved the ways in which it potentially magnified the impact of large institutional money in politics, whether corporations or perhaps labor unions would be able to do more than in the past. But so far, it seems as if the main effect in the Republican Party has been for a kind of chaos generation where more candidates are able to stay in the race longer and to wage these really damaging attacks on their opponents because they have money newly available to them, which would have been harder to obtain in the somewhat more organized circumstances of the pre-Citizens United ruling.
In other words, in the old days, if a candidate was struggling in the primary, they would just quit, right? They wouldn't be able to raise money.
Yes. In the olden days, the speed with which you could or could not raise money was an important factor. I think back to Gary Hart in 1984 when he actually won the New Hampshire primary over Walter Mondale but couldn't get enough new money quickly enough to stay in the race. And of course, Mondale was the nominee. But now we find with the new super PACs, relatively small amounts of money in the large sense of politics. Say, for example, the $5 million that the billionaire Sheldon Adelson has given to a Newt Gingrich supporting PAC can have enormous effects on, say, funding all the ads against Romney, like the ones you've described. The analogy I think of, it's as if a ruling allowed everybody to walk around the street carrying bazookas. Suddenly there's just a new level of pervasive potential for destruction that wasn't there before.
Jim, what about the specific attacks on Romney by his fellow Republicans? I mean, this is supposed to be the party of free enterprise. And yet, Newt Gingrich and Rick Perry are sounding like anti-Wall Street populists. I mean, is there a split taking place in the party over this issue?
This also is truly fascinating. From the time, at least, of Richard Nixon onward, the Republican Party has been very, very effective at using cultural similarities to meld together a coalition that had a lot of intrinsic economic differences. And so, in the last 30 or 40 years, we've gotten used to the Republican Party being pro-gun and pro-church and anti-media and anti-sort of fancy elite political correctness. And this created the problem or the situation that Thomas Frank described in his book, What's the Matter with Kansas, where you had people who were economically disadvantaged in various ways by Republican policies, who nonetheless were rock-ribbed Republicans because of this cultural alliance they felt with the Republican Party. So to have within the Republicans an attack on the economic policies that have been championed by the party over the last generation is very interesting, and we'll see how long the party allows this to go on.
Finally, Jim, I want to play this ad for you. It's being released by the Gingrich campaign in South Carolina today.
Massachusetts moderate Mitt Romney. He'll say anything to win. Anything. And just like John Kerry.
Laissez les bon temps rouler.
He speaks French, too.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Mitt Romney.
He speaks French, Jim. Mitt Romney can't possibly be qualified to be president.
C'est incroyable. There are times in American life where, number one, you're just overjoyed to be an American, and number two, you wish that Mark Twain were still around. This is part of who we are, so as they say, laissez les bon temps rouler.
That's James Fallows. He's national correspondent for The Atlantic. You can find his blog at jamesfallows.theatlantic.com. Jim Adema?
I'll just say thank you, Guy.